Dan.
Jared.
Today we go back to the homeland.
Today we do go back to the homeland, but I never left the homeland.
Journey to the west? Whichever.
I think it's the east.
Northeast for me, yeah. Back to the heart of Orlando, Florida.
Oh, nah. And that tourism.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared. That's Dan. Dan already said hello. Hi, I think. Yeah,
I did.
Yeah. You're here?
I am here representing the Florida Project.
That's right, baby girl. So this is the Indie Film Review. We like to review independent films here. It's what we do. And The Florida Project 2017 is a film that has been on my radar for a hot minute.
Mine too, because it's one of them A24 films.
Yeah, that's right. Before A24 was cool and hip, they made this movie. And the director, Sean Baker.
I have seen one other of his films.
Oh, do tell.
He did a film called Tangerine that while I was writing for that movie website I used to write for, I reviewed that film, and that film was completely shot on iPhones and filmed guerrilla style in downtown LA. And it's about the trans community of downtown LA and how they're kind of ostracized, and you're in that community for a good long bit of the movie. And this film, The Florida Project, has certainly a very similar feel, but it was harder to watch.
Okay.
Yes.
Harder to watch in a bad way?
This film was excellent, but it was hard to watch in a... not a good way or a bad way. It's just, it's fucking children doing the most horrendous shit. And just, that's how they're growing up. It's not
well,
very
if you were to
watch.
Say, describe this movie in 30 seconds or less, and also try to pitch it to me, like maybe you were some kind of salesperson in an elevator type of situation.
Okay.
How would you do that?
So, Jared, Orlando, Florida. You got Universal Studios. You got Walt Disney World. You got Old Town Kissimmee. You got the Pirates Dinner Adventure. Let's forget about all of that stuff.
Okay.
And go to the hotels in between where the people who can barely afford to live in Florida are scraping by and teaching their children to take sexy pictures.
Hell yeah, and Willem Dafoe is... So this movie, I would describe it like... it is a very real depiction of people who are borderline homeless.
Yes.
Like, people who are just scraping by paycheck to paycheck, and if anything goes wrong in their life, they're probably out in the street. And
Florida, Central Florida is a perfect place to set this.
Yes, because it's juxtaposed with Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, and then the people living there are just, they're not so happy, let's say that. Like,
but
they're really
also
doing
like
their best.
You have the cool juxtaposition of the happiest place on earth versus the dingy part, but also you have the landscape of Florida. You have like these really nasty, seedy hotels, but then these really cool cinematographic shots of just the Florida sunset amongst all this bullshit. That it's such an amazing movie in that regard. It looks incredible.
Oh yes, it does. And this guy Sean Baker, he likes to do this guerrilla style. He likes to do like, I have an outline. He's kind of a mumblecore type of guy
for
his films, because a lot of this stuff wasn't scripted. A lot of what the kids were doing, he just let them do it. There are some scripted scenes where he's like, the kids have to say this one line or whatever to get the point across. But most of it, that he just let them go. Even with the adult actors, he's just like, you know, things were evolving as the scenes were going. And then Willem Dafoe would be like, hey, I think my character... should have a son instead of, you know, a brother, or like things like that would happen. And they would just immerse themselves in this situation. And you know Willem Dafoe, he loves doing shit like this.
Well, I think okay, I read about this in
Lighthouse.
About Willem Dafoe in this movie. He like, as I was watching, I'm like, God damn, he nails the Florida accent so well. Like, mm-hmm. not Southern Florida, but like that, just me, like people like me that I associate myself with. I'm like, how is mm-hmm. he doing that? And then I read the trivia, and he immersed himself. He lived here for a week, and yeah. He nailed the accent in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
he's a natural born Floridian.
I think it's safe to say he's a good boy, and we all love him, and we hope he lives forever. But yeah, he was fantastic in this. A lot of the other actors and actresses in this were all first time.
Isn't the lead actress? They found her on Instagram.
Yeah, she's like an Instagram person, and this was her first role. She did great. She did fantastic. All the kids, usually Dan, I hate child actors. We all know this; they're the worst. These kids, some of the best child actors I've ever seen. They're so good. None of them annoyed me or bothered me. It was pretty amazing.
Really?
I
mean,
yeah.
Outside of the fact that they're supposed to annoy and bother you because they're devil children.
Yes, even though they're supposed to be devil children, I still thought they were great, and they never annoyed me. They annoyed the characters in the film, but not me. That is a feat in and of itself.
That is a big feat. But because...
And you love big feet.
Yeah, I love big feet. But because... They were annoying to the characters. It was so cringy to watch these kids. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I every time they would just go around and mess shit up, I was just like, shouldn't they be in school? What's going on?
It's
and they even bring that up in the movie, yeah, but it's summer vacation.
It's summer vacation. Yeah. Yeah. And okay, yeah. So on iDrive, for those of you who have never lived in Florida, not iDrive, it's where iDrive in I-4, and I-4 is like this hell... This hell on earth that is this interstate that goes through Florida. Anyway, there's this helicopter tour in the middle of this area. And because they couldn't secure the funding to stop the helicopter tour, they wrote it into the script. So there's helicopter tours happening throughout the entire movie. It's brilliant.
Because they would get interrupted all the time. But I think it only adds to the movie.
It does, because it makes it more authentic. I know exactly where I am. Like, if anybody has ever been to that part of Florida, you'll recognize a lot of places. But then you're like, ooh, I don't know if I experience Florida the way it should be experienced.
Because mm-hmm. If you go to Orlando, you're going to all the touristy stuff. You're
exactly.
not going to see the Roach Motels and all this other stuff.
But there's a constant reminder. You don't really see Disney in this film too much. You do see the helicopter tours, but there's constantly this. They establish. It's an establishing shot. They did it at least 3 or 4 times in the film, but it's this street sign that says Seven Dwarfs Lane, so you know where mm-hmm. you are all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's a tiny reminder of, this is the Magic Kingdom, and plus, like, one of the hotels is called, like, the Magic Hotel, and that comes...
Yeah.
That comes into play later whenever somebody for their honeymoon just gets really upset.
The hotels are so garish. They're like bright neon colors, like we're in Miami or something. And I'm like, what is going on right now? So, okay, two things. I-4 rated one of the most dangerous highways to drive on.
It's terrible.
One of the most dangerous. I think it is number one, actually, for the most fatalities on a highway. Number two, Florida Project is actually the original name for Disney World. I didn't know that. I Googled it. I'm really good at Googling. You can Google that. You can actually Google about me Googling, and it'll show up and it'll say
Jared Googles.
Googler. Okay, Google. Please continue podcast now. Dude, so, Dan, let's do some
quick
questions.
Aside.
Sure.
Because you said, okay, Google. I'm sure you're referencing the Google Home.
Yeah.
My Google Home randomly started singing a song about wearing a mask. Yesterday.
Whoa, dude.
I didn't prompt it. It just started singing a song that it made up. And it's like, if you want to hear that again, ask, hey, Google, play the mask song. I'm like, no.
Creepy.
I did not ask, and I don't want.
Wear a mask when you kill your wife, then you won't have witnesses. Bury her deep in the woods. Make sure no one's watching you. If you'd like to hear that Mask song again.
Summon Satan into your heart. Oh.
Jesus Christ.
These listening devices, I know you're already giving away your everything to let them hear every little thing about your life, but they should never, unprompted, do anything.
Exactly. I mean,
you should at least have that one-way communication.
Exactly.
They shouldn't be like, what if they start like advertising to you and shit? Be like, hey, have you heard of these Kinko jeans or something? You're like, get out of here. Shut up, Google. Fuck off. Oh, that's what our lives are going to be. We're going to go to sleep and fucking our dreams are just going to be advertisements that are getting beamed into our heads by Google. Oh, awful. I hate it. Okay, Dan, question. Do you have a question for me?
Yes. I keep going off about how much these kids made me upset. I want to know how badly these kids made you upset, because it was a rough watch for me.
I like these kids a lot. They didn't really upset me.
Dude.
I think they did such a good job that they...
I'm not talking about the kids themselves. I'm talking about, like, the shit they were doing, like, lighting shit on fire.
Oh, I mean, it's horrifying because the mom of... The one girl. Oh, so then all the kids' names are like Scooty, Dicky, Jancy. They're all like
Mooney.
IE names at the end. It's pretty great. Yeah, Mooney. They're all just running around, just doing the worst, stupidest things that they can possibly do. And you're like, okay, some of the kids are doing bad things and they're getting punished for it. Like, there's discipline, you know, the parents like, hey, you're grounded. You can't go out for a week. You can't hang out with those kids anymore. But the younger mom with that little girl, she just lets the kids do whatever. She's basically a little kid.
Yeah.
She herself is a little kid. She is totally overwhelmed by having children and just doesn't understand what to do. So she just acts like kids with them and has them do like illegal stuff and like scamming people. Oh, it's so bad. And it's like you feel bad for her because... It seems like she's trying to get a job and just can't do it. Okay, well, here's my question to you. Do you really feel like that mom was scamming everyone in her life or was really trying to, like, get a job and provide for her family and everything else?
I feel like she had the instinct. She felt like she needed to provide in terms of the drive being there. But I feel like the only way she knew how was to scam people, basically.
Okay.
Turn tricks and scam.
Yeah. Dicks. She even resorts to prostitution while her son is...
Daughter.
Our daughter is in the same room. This is kind of spoilery, I guess. I mean, this movie's weird about spoilers because it's like... Does it feel like a lot happens?
No, I mean...
But it's like, still really entertaining?
It's, like it's a slice of life, but it's a slice of life that you don't necessarily want to see.
Yeah.
Like, this is the life that exists very much outside of your vision. And once you experience it, you're like, oh.
Yep.
Who was your favorite character?
Oh, who was my favorite character? Let's see. I mean, I liked the daughter. I thought she was really great. Her lines,
like the main
some
character?
Of her lines by her, the main character's daughter. I thought she was really good. Mooney, I think, was her.
Yeah,
name.
I consider Mooney the main character of the movie.
She was fantastic, and I think we said this already, but almost all of these actors were first-time actors that the director found. Some of them he found in motels like this and was like, I want you to act in this movie. And then a lot of these kids went on to like get scholarships and stuff, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool.
And hopefully their careers will just keep going up, up, up. I mean, they don't have to do acting or anything, but it's good to like people are out there like...
Downward back into a hotel.
That's right. And we all know child actors always turn out okay. You know what? Here's an example, though, of a child actor that actually turned out okay. the kid actor from Two and a Half Men,
mm-hmm.
you never hear about him because his life is fine. So, like, he did Two and a Half Men. He was getting paid $3 million an episode or whatever. Like, that kid's a multi-millionaire. And he grew up. He got into some weird culty stuff for, like, a hot minute. And then he realized on his own, like, oh, this stuff isn't good. I'm going to get away from this. And then his life is fine. He didn't, you know, he didn't get, like, addicted to drugs or turn into Britney Spears or anything crazy.
Charlie from Willy Wonka, he turned into a vet and he lives in Nebraska somewhere or something like that.
There you go, man.
Macaulay Culkin, he finally evened out. Like, he's still a weird dude, but he's functioning now.
How did you feel about the sound design in this movie?
Sound design was brilliant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember
any music, honestly.
It wasn't.
But it was more of like ambient.
It was mostly ambient stuff, but like it felt very realistic. Like, you know, we've already said it, but like whenever your whole production has to halt because of fucking helicopters, just the idea to include that sound in the film, it makes it so much more realistic, and that realism really really makes you feel upset, I guess. Like, the sound added to the film's
ambiance.
It added to the film's... Je ne sais quoi. It added to the film's overall feel. Like, there's a word I'm looking for, but, like, just the sound...
Well, you feel immersed.
Exactly.
It's like you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I totally get it. Okay, so we're going to spoil this movie even more now. I apologize. We definitely started talking about things we probably shouldn't have talked about. But we're going to start talking about scenes that we liked. I mean, I think it's obvious we both really liked this movie, right?
Yes.
I mean, I highly recommend it. Go fucking see this movie, Florida Project. It's on Netflix right now as of recording. Just do it. Do it. Go see it. It's so good. William Dafoe, come on.
Now, I'm going to say that this is... It's one of my favorite roles for Willem Dafoe because just as a concept is brilliant. Like, imagine Willem Dafoe as a building superintendent and he has to deal with everybody's problems. So it's basically Willem Dafoe going around dealing with shitty people's problems the entire movie.
Like, well, yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is this woman, she's always sunbathing at the pool and her tits are out.
Ooh, and they're not good. They're not good tits.
He has to
they're
go
old
up to
granny
her.
Tits.
He has to go up to her and be like, listen, you gotta cover up. We've already talked about this. And then she's like, well, what are you gonna do? And then he covers her up. And he's like, you just touched my tit. I'm gonna call the sheriff. Tell him that you're touching my boobs.
It's so nasty. So and then all the little kids are watching from like up above.
Yeah.
In the motel. Just giggling at the boobies. Oh, it's real gross. But apparently, William Dafoe researching this role, you know, he started to see that a lot of these motel managers start to take on the role of, like, a father figure to a lot of these people, like, trying to take care of them and make sure everything's all right. So he is a real benevolent, good guy that everyone genuinely likes, and he's, like, actually trying to help everyone there. What's interesting, too, is I think... Because it was a real motel, and some of the people in the movie were just people who actually lived at that motel, and they were allowed to film them. And so there's, like, certain interactions where, like, William Dafoe is, like, telling a lady, like, hey, I'm going to fix those two washing machines. And the lady's just like, okay. like, why are you talking to me? I'm pretty sure that was real. like, there's a lot of scenes like that where it felt way too real. But... Dafoe feels so badly for the mom and this little girl, and he wants things to work out well for them, but they just keep pushing the boundary of like using William Dafoe and using everyone around them to stay alive. And you feel bad for them and you want them to start doing better. But then it's like, you look around and like her best friend is doing good. She has a job. She's taking care of her kid. She's trying to stay out of trouble while, you know, this other girl with the green hair or whatever, she's just doing all the things she shouldn't be doing. So it makes me think heavily of like, is it like her not willing to, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this. Is it her environment or is it her like work ethic and like wanting to take care of herself and her family? I mean, it's just like not built for
it. In situations like these, it's really hard to ascertain which one is, you know, which chicken came first compared to the egg. Is it nature or nurture?
Yeah. Like, that's a way
better way to say it. How is it that she has come to be in her environment? And the film keeps that very ambiguous, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
because she's probably burnt some bridges, too. I mean,
well, she burns them throughout the entire movie. Like,
yeah, this, I mean, pattern, I'm sure she doesn't talk to her parents or anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's sad. It's sad all the way around because you're rooting for her and you want her to do well. And it's just like, everything bad that can happen happens, and a lot of it is her own doing. And just like, why are you doing this? So I think it's a little of both, honestly. I think it's a little of both, and it's real sad. And it reminds me of like people like drug addicts or people like that, where it's like sometimes it's just they have to want to help themselves, and other times you are just put in a really terrible situation. Like, say you're a lady whose husband is very abusive, and you try to, you know, maybe you're married to them and you don't work, you're a stay-at-home mom, and you decide to leave this person, and they're like, oh, you're going to leave me? Okay, well, you're not going to get any of my money or whatever. I'm going to just throw you out in the street. And it's like, there's not much you can do about it. And now you're by yourself with a daughter or a son or whatever, and you're homeless now because you've just been completely cut off from your abusive husband. And if you go back to him, this is just an example, but I've read about stuff like this before, where it's like, these situations can happen whether you want them to or not. Because I get annoyed when people say like, oh, well, there's a lot of people who want to be homeless, or they want to live this lifestyle. I'm like, I'm sure there are a very small few of people who like the freedom or the lifestyle of living that way. But a lot of them are like, they're either mentally ill or they're addicted to drugs or they're in circumstances beyond their control. And they need help and like counselors and anything they can get. I'm speaking for the U.S. mostly. I don't know how it is in other countries, but we don't treat homeless people or low-income housing people very well over here at all.
No.
And we haven't been for like decades and decades. I'm going to get off the soapbox now. I just realized I'm talking to an auditorium of no one, and I'm going to just, all right, I'm going to sit back down.
I was listening.
And now, Dan, you can start talking.
So, we have homeless people in Florida.
That's right. He just starts saying everything I'm saying.
Just
and
right
another
back on
thing.
It.
If I'm elected president of the universe, free cotton candy for everyone. That's what I say.
All right. So, a couple other scenes that are really interesting. So, you have Mooney, Scooty, and there's this, I forgot the other kid, but they're all
Booty, Jancy, Lancy, Tansy.
Well, Jancy's the new kid, but basically
Sancy.
They get to know Jancy through accosting her grandmother at the very beginning of the movie.
Spitting on her car.
And they get in trouble for it, but they get to know Jancy through all this. So one of the kids can't hang out with them anymore because that's the dad grounded him. And then the moms. So you have Ashley, I think her name is, and Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Haley is the mom of Mooney, the one that is just not doing well. So they get into a tiff, and Mooney and Scooty can't see each other anymore, but they were like best friends. So Mooney has to be friends with Jancy and bond with her over that. But the reason why these kids can't hang out anymore is they're all in these abandoned condominiums at one point in the movie that are like pretty close to where they live. And they find a fireplace and Mooney's like, Scooty, give me your lighter. Let's do something.
Oh, yeah.
And then the very next scene. So you just hear her ask for a lighter and they put a pillow in the fireplace. And the very next scene is just them going home and say, we can't tell anybody what we did. And I'm like, they fucking lit that house on fire. Mm-hmm. And then as the fucking movie is going, you see smoke and everybody's like, what the fuck? So the whole complex of this motel is just looking onward to this house that is just...
That looked real, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That shit looked real.
Yeah.
A couple of the scenes I wanted to talk about. So originally in the script, there was supposed to be a moment where the kids find a rainbow and they talk about it. And an actual real rainbow showed up. So they ran and just started filming it. Like, we got to film this right now. This will save us a ton of money.
Yeah.
And how cool is that? I mean, that was really cool. I thought it was really neat. One of my favorite scenes in this movie is when the creepy old man goes up to the kids. Oh my God,
I forgot about that scene.
And he's like, that... hey, kids.
Oh my
God. I'm like a turtle who's come to life in human form. I'm going to talk to you, kids. And Bobby sees it, the Willem Dafoe character, and he's painting, and he's so disturbed by this old man accosting the kids, you know, and being creepy, he drops his paint can and it spills while a guy's walking by. And I'm like, that's so good. So he goes up to the creepy old man. He goes, what are you doing here? He's like, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm just passing through. He's like, well, why are you here? What do you want? He's like, oh, I wanted to find a vending machine to get some soda. He's like, oh, you want a vending machine, huh? Okay, well, they're over here. I'll walk you over there. So the whole time, he's like asking him, like, hey, are you thirsty? Are you really thirsty? He's like, yeah, I really wanted a soda. I really wanted a soda. The whole time, he's just like bullshitting him. He gets him to the soda machine. He makes him put the money in, and he gets the soda. And the guy's holding the soda. He's like, aren't you going to drink that soda? I thought you were really thirsty. He's like staring at him. He goes, oh, yeah. And he pops it open. He's drinking. He's like, that's a good soda, huh? He's like, yeah, oh, yeah, it's really good. And he smacks it out of his hand. He goes like, get the fuck out of here. He's like, if I ever see you here again. He's like, I forget what he says to him, but he even gets his wallet. And he's like, I'm going to call you into the sheriff or whatever. And he chases him off. It was so funny and creepy and scary, too. But that just shows more of like how much he is like a father figure to everyone. Yeah, I was going to say,
like, that really establishes him early in the movie as a benevolent force for sure.
Yeah. And he, you know, he has to do some harsh thing. He has to, like, enforce the rules. So then a lot of people don't like him because he has to enforce the rules. But he's doing it as, like, a tough love type of thing. There's a lot of, like, paternal... and like people who, you know, they love you, but they can't be your best friend. You know, it's like, it's a different type of love between like, okay, two friends who are like little kids, how they could love each other and like, oh, we're playing, we're having fun, we're doing whatever, between like an adult and how they treat their kids. And I mean, sometimes it may be like, you got to follow the rules, but they still love them so much with a passion. But... And that's the difference between William Dafoe and the mom. Like, she loves her daughter unconditionally, but it's almost as if she was also like on a weird friend level. So I love the juxtaposition of, we keep saying that word, I apologize, of like the different dynamics and how they keep playing with the paternal, you know, child dynamic. And it's super
plays
good
with it even more, because you learn through one scene that Willem Dafoe is a terrible person to his family.
Well, yeah, his home life is not great. He's divorced from his wife, who he treats as, like, he really hates his wife. Yeah. And he loves his son, but there's something going on with his family that he just cannot resolve.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's really focusing more of his attention on, you know, the motel. And he, like, wants to spend more time with his son, but he's, like, making him work there instead of just, like, taking some time off and just being with his son. And, and they don't even touch on it that much. And I love that little hint of, like, more character development. He's not just, like, a one-dimensional dude. And, and I really love that the one scene where, you go into Willem Dafoe's office and you see the Green Goblin mask that's just kind of sitting in his drawer, and he quickly closes it and goes, everything's fine. Spider-Man, I'll get you, Spider-Man. Yeah, that was a really neat scene.
And then he, like, good holds Easter egg. He holds one of the kids up by the scruff of the neck. He's like, you really like my lobster?
Tell me I like my lobster. And he farts a lot in this movie. It's really strange. None of that happens in the
middle. And then they crucify him.
Oh, God. Well, Dan, I think we're done.
I think we are done.
I think we're done now.
Unless I can think of any more Willem Dafoe movies.
nope, those are the only films.
Oh, wait a minute. He then turns into a homosexual detective.
Oh. That wasn't he always a homosexual detective?
Yeah, I think so, actually.
We're fucking idiots. Guys, thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Dan, do the plugs now.
You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Ooh. Ooh, baby. Guys, we're on Necropodicon. If you want to go to
www.necropodicon.com.
So it's Necro and then Podicon. So it's a play on words, you see. And you'll find the website. If you go there, you can check out all the other really cool podcasts that we have going on right now. And there's also a link at the very top where you can click to join the Discord. And then on the Discord, it's a fun, neat service where you can communicate with other people who also enjoy those shows and the actual creators like us. Come say hello. You can reference Willem Dafoe movies to us, and we will say, hey, we get that. We understand that. And it's just like a lot of real, you know, a lot of bonding we're going to be doing over stuff like that.
Yes.
So thank you again for listening. I really appreciate you. And Dan, do you have the final word?
My favorite scene is whenever Haley just crushes Willem Dafoe's testicles with a 2x4.
Unnecessary Evil, where we talk about the darker side of things. Because let's get real, the darker side is always more intriguing. So come, join us as we venture into the void. But be warned, it is vast, and we weren't meant to venture far.